We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Amen. Open your Bible to the book of Amos. Chapter 9, verse 11. The Lord dealt with me with this scripture because we just had 9-11 this week. And the Holy Spirit said, go and read 9-11. So I begin from Genesis. I begin to read every chapter, 9 and 11. See, God talks to people in a strange way. He did not tell me which one, so I have to read it all. Genesis 9:11, Exodus 9:11. I just went through the scripture. Then I got to Amos 9:11. You see, read it again. See, now I've done my own homework. If you see me walking leisurely, don't be fooled. The Negro is prepared. Praise the Lord. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. The word of God says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. Why? Because it has fallen. No more worship in our churches. That tabernacle had collapsed. But God said, I want to build it up again. He said, I will close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up all the ruins, and I will build it as it used to be before. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit will welcome you. Lord, I pray for your anointing to proclaim your word. I pray for all the people that will be hearing this message, that we will not be hearers alone, but we will become doers of your word. Glorify yourself in this house. Lord, I'm mindful of the fact that this is your church. I didn't bring any church with me when I came from Africa. This is yours. Have your way in this house. Use my tongue as a ready writer for your glory. Bless the people. Bless everyone that will be hearing this voice. Anoint me, O God, for your glory. I ask for more of you and less of us. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled An Introduction to True Worship. Not just worship, but true worship. An introduction to true worship. I read to you Amos chapter 9, verse 11. But I want to quickly tell you what was going on from verse 1 through verse 10 before we get to verse 11. This is the account about the nation of Israel. They find themselves in crisis of all kinds. The nation was divided. There were all kinds of chaos. Crime was on the rise. People don't get along. Things were just not working out. Sounds like where we are today. And ladies and gentlemen, churches had become dull. Sounds like where we are today. Even surveys were taken and people are saying churches are no longer necessary. That's where Israel was. Churches have become so dull that the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 says, we are only having a form of godliness, but there is no power. Ladies and gentlemen, it was so bad, like it is today, that God declared an emergency. And God was trying to suggest to the man of God, Brother Amos, that if we don't do some things immediately, there will be judgment. And what did he recommend? God says what we need to do is to rebuild the tabernacle of David, to affirm the judgment of Almighty God. We need to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Why do we need to do that? God said, in that day, what day? We are living that day right now. He said, when the hearts of men and women has grown cold. That's what we're experiencing now. Just yesterday or day before, somebody just went in Alexandria killing people. The hearts of men and women has gone cold. Not only will people kill you, then they will stab their victim many times, even after the victim is dead. Cold. God is saying when churches has grown so dull, not making impact, we have churches in every corner. yet no impact. God said what we need to do is to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Well, of course, when I heard that, the question must be asked, what is the tabernacle of David? And ladies and gentlemen, it's all about worship. God used David to build a tabernacle where worship is conducted 24/7. In case you don't know, that happened for 33 years, nonstop, every day, 24 hours. People are worshiping God. Where I can stop there and preach, I wonder how many hours in a day that you devote to worship. Some of you even wait until Sunday morning. And even when you show up Sunday morning, you still don't worship. The tabernacle of David was a place where worship was taking place 24 hours a day, and it was done for 33 years, nonstop. In that tabernacle, David had 8,000 musicians. He had 288 singers. Then he had 8,000 doorkeepers. Those of you who are ushers and greeters, by the way, doorkeeper in the word of God is what we call administrative assistant. People were coming all over the world to worship. It takes that many doorkeepers. Notice the number of musicians, the number of singers, and he had that going on 24 hours. Why would David do that? Ladies and gentlemen, because he discovered the key of David, that worship will get you into the presence of God. And once you get into the presence of God, no devil can mess with you. No cancer can kill you. No heart attack, no hypertension, no danger can run you out of this planet Earth before your time. Somebody shall worship. So the goal of the tabernacle of David was to host the presence of God round the clock, 24/7. Now you see what Jesus was talking about when he was teaching the disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, as it is in heaven." So the goal of the tabernacle of David is to have heaven and earth coming together. That's what Jesus was teaching those disciples in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Can you imagine what will happen when God and man are hanging out together? The result will be change in our community. I hope some police chiefs are listening to me. I hope some mayors are paying attention. I hope some city councilmen and women hear the word of God. We can live in a peaceful and just society. God said the secret is for us to build again the tabernacle of David. The secret is worship. According to Amos, that tabernacle has fallen. There's no need to rebuild anything that is still standing. The reason why God is saying we need to rebuild the tabernacle of David is because that tabernacle has fallen. See, all those of you who are religious, whatever, you'll be hurting now because you don't like it when you are confronted with the truth. But the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at our churches today. We have plenty of attendance, but true worship is very scarce. Am I telling the truth? People are asking God for things. Many of us, that's what we do. We ask God for things, but we don't ask for him. What is true worship? This is my assignment today. Pay attention. So that you can learn to worship God and watch the enemy run from you. What is true worship? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the first mention of worship is in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. You remember the story. God told Abraham to go up on Mount Moriah and sacrifice his only son. Am I still in the book? And the Bible says Abraham immediately obeyed God and went up to the mountain. After a 3 days journey, he saw the place. And the Bible said, then Abraham told all of his people that are with him. That's Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. He said, you all stay here. Me and the lad, we're going up yonder. And then he said, we are going up yonder to do what? That's the first mention of that word. In all you're getting, get understanding. By the way, there's a lesson there. There's a reason why he told all of them to stay in the valley and not to go up on the mountain. When it comes to worship, not everybody can go with you. You have to love people enough and say, well, I feel you stay here. He said, me and this teenager, we're going up. And we're going to worship. And we shall return. I can stop here and preach to you all day. Our worshiper will never go down. God told him, you're going up there to kill your son. But he had an understanding that if you would learn to worship God, no weapon, form, or fashion against you shall prosper. My brothers, my sisters, the secret is worship. That's the first time worship is mentioned. But let me mess with your religion. When they worship, there was no keyboard there. There was no piano. Nobody playing guitar. Wah, wah, wah. What you are calling worship now, you have no clue. And that is why the devil is having a field day in our life. There were no lights there. There was no choir. No drums. No worship team. No soundtrack. No smoke machine. You see how messed up we have become? No LED walls. I'm about to mess up your religion. No coffee in the lobby. Just come to our church. We got it going on. Come worship with us. Free coffee in the lobby. There ain't no worship. Yet what they did that day, Abraham called it worship. So we need to get understanding when it comes to this subject of worship. What is true worship? To be honest with you, it's not singing. I done messed up. Hey, don't turn me off. You know I'm on an assignment. I didn't come here on my own. Had no clue there's a state called Louisiana. Never been to Pineville. I'm on an assignment. It's not your shout. It's not your dance. True worship, if you study the word of God correctly, is simply obedience. Ladies and gentlemen, let me show you an act of obedience that Abraham did. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 22, verse 3. No piano. No drums, no guitar, no high voice solo that can just work the tone. What then is worship? Verse 3, Genesis 22, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and Abraham saddled his ass. And Abraham took two of his young men with him. And are you noticing a lot of and I'm telling you what worship is about. And Isaac, his son. And Abraham cleaved the wood for the burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And Abraham went unto the place which God told him. Obedience. I happen to be a theologian. If you count how many times, and, seven times. Completion. Ladies and gentlemen, what is true worship? It is when you let go and you let God. You can sing like an angel and never worship. If you don't believe me, just go watch Michael Jackson. Go watch Miss Beyonce. Miss Taylor Swift. Oh, they can sing good. If you invite them to any church, that church will be packed out. They can sing. They've got the best backup singers. They've got the best musician. But that ain't no worship. Trying to help somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know why we turn to singing and we think singing is worship? I'll tell you how the devil deceived the church. Because when it comes to singing, you can sing singing will not make demand of you, but true worship would demand of you to walk right and talk right and act right and live right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can sing good and never worship. Out of ignorance, we've defined worship. In some instance, we will say worship. If you ask the musician, play me some worship song, in their psyche, just slow it down. Not a single scripture to support that ignorance. It's not the style of music. It doesn't matter whether you're singing fast song or slow song. You can sing all that and still not worship. True worship is more than a song. True worship is more than a style. True worship is more than your shout. True worship is your obedience to Almighty God. True worship is less about worship team. It's about your obedience to God. It's not about the team, it's about your altar. Do you have an altar that is built before Almighty God? And if you and me are not careful, from the pastor, from the pulpit to the pews, you can go day after day and never worship God. And that is the state of our churches. You remember Mr. Job? Job was a very rich man. Job was popular. Job was famous. But you all remember, news came to Job. He just lost all of his children. Lost all of his possessions. Then he lost his health. Frankly speaking, he lost just about everything he got. But then you get to Job, chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says he arose. This is how he reacted to all that. This is how he dealt with his crisis. Job, chapter 1, verse 20 says he rose up in the morning, tear up his clothes, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and did what? Worship. And worship. Right. Trying to give you a good picture of what worship is. What are you going to do when your back is against the wall? Are you going to be having pity party? Or are you going to learn from Job and worship God in the midst of your crisis? And maybe you're here this morning, and the truth be told, this year has been rough. And maybe you're here, you're listening to my voice on radio, you see me on television. Maybe right now you're going through some crisis. Maybe you lost family members. Maybe you've lost your marriage. Maybe you lost your business. Maybe you've lost even your job. And maybe your health, you can tell you are losing it. The world will tell you what you need to do. When you lose somebody, you need to go into grieving. But let me suggest to you, the devil is alive. All these counseling theories, they are not in sync with the word of God. Look at what Job did. The truth be told, if you don't learn to worship in your crisis, if you choose to go into grieving, the wisdom of this world, Yes, many people are grieving, then they go into addiction. Many people are grieving, then they get into drugs. Many people are grieving, they get into sex. You better listen to this man of God. But there is something better than your grief. It's called worship. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is the best way to deal with broken heart. I don't care what the devil throw at you. If you will reply with worship, God will deliver you from that situation. Now you say, Pastor, don't you have any apathy? Yes, I do. I've been through stuff like you. And there's nothing wrong to ask God, why me? Why this? But ladies and gentlemen, your questions should not get ahead of your worship. Always make sure worship is in front. Any other thing comes later. Your questions can wait, but your worship cannot wait. The way out of trouble, the way out of trial, the way out of defeat is your worship. Amen, somebody. If you worship, you may go through the fire, but you will not burn. Hallelujah. Do I have a witness in the house? If you don't believe me, find you Shadrach, Meshach, and Bad Negro. They will tell you they've been through the fire, but they came out because they worship God in the process. I don't know who I'm talking to. You can go through the flood, but you're not going to drown. If you will learn to worship God, somebody shall worship. There was a woman. The Bible called her Syrophoenician woman. Am I still in the book? The word of God said this woman had a daughter, and the daughter was sick. So she came like many of us. This is what we do before God. Help me, help me, help me. I need this. I need some money. I need a husband. So she came, don't look at your neighbor. So she came to Jesus begging. Guess what Jesus did? He said, Sister girl, the answer is no. This is why I'm saying pay attention. The Lord told me you've been having church for too long. Begin to elevate the understanding of God's people. Don't just have church year after year. Teach the world. Feed my sheep. If you will feed my sheep, God say, I got your back. Jesus called her, Sister, let me shoot straight with you. You're a dog. Am I still in the book? The disciples told her, put that woman away. She's disturbing our program. But ladies and gentlemen, if you read Matthew's, chapter 15, verse 25. This woman grabbed hold of what I'm trying to teach you today. She moved from just begging. The Bible says she fell down and she worshiped. And all of a sudden, our story changed forever. Church, I'm sick and tired of having church Sunday after Sunday with no worship. I'm tired of all churches just having program after program. You having a form of godliness, but there is no power behind it. We need to change our thinking. We need to change our religion and move from just having a good time to just worshiping God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. You know what lesson we can learn from this woman? When she changed from gimme, 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 that old religion, and it changed to worship, all of a sudden, she got what she wants from the Lord. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Worship will change your circumstance. Worship, true worship, will change your situation. I don't care if there's no music in your house. I don't care if there's no piano, if there's no solo, no nice voice to inspire you from your spirit. If you will worship God, if you will cry out to God, God will take care of you. The problem is that many of us want things from Jesus, but we don't want Jesus. Briefly, let me give you a picture of how you can worship God, because I don't want time to slip by me. How do you truly worship God? Number one, you have to know God. What did I say? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about knowing God intimately. Knowing God for yourself. Not what mama told you. Not what the preacher said. Not what I saw. You got to know that you know that you know there is a God who made heaven and earth, who created your soul. And the more you know him, the deeper your worship is. You show me a true worshiper, I'll show you a man or a woman who really don't give a flip what you think about him, what you think about her. She get connected with God. She find herself in the presence of God. And she's soaked in his presence because she knows when all is said and done, nobody but Jesus. What's the first thing we need to do? We need to know God. The truth be told, you cannot worship a God that you don't know. That just eliminates a lot of pastors. That just eliminated a lot of choir members. Yes, they are singing. Yes, they are shouting. Preachers are whooping and hollering every Sunday, but they don't know God. If you really know God, it will show in your attitude. If you really know God, it will show in your action. If you really know God, it will show on how you treat people. You got to know God. You got to know God. Invest your time getting to know God. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, to really worship God, you have to be willing to release yourself. Are you listening to me? The reason why many people cannot even lift up their hands, they're tight. The reason why many people cannot worship, you are busy rolling your eyes. You are busy. You see, the musicians and the singers, they are just cheerleaders. They're just here to help you get in the mood of worship. You try to go in the presence of God to have an encounter with your creator, but you are tight. You are busy looking at who dressed well today. Oh, have you seen the new hairstyle that Sister So-So and So is wearing? Oh, she got a new wig. You see, you ain't worshiping, sister girl. You're on your way to hell. Somebody needs to preach this gospel. But when you forget about yourself and you get in the presence of God and you release yourself to worship, then your shout has meaning. Then your dance has meaning. Then your singing has meaning. Then your preaching has meaning. Who am I preaching to today? Let everything that has breath. I'm trying to help somebody. Release yourself. True freedom comes from worship. When you release yourself, then you're not worried about who is looking. When you release yourself, then you're not worried about opinion of men. Are you all still here? Another way you can worship, number three, get rid of distractions. Every time you're trying to worship, even in the church, God will make sure that you're fully attentive to him before you receive your worship. The devil's job is to create distraction. Are you all still here this morning? I was in the church this morning and somebody is texting me. Don't forget our team is playing this afternoon. That's the devil. I know the devil when I see him. Some of you will come to church and then the devil will be reminding you what you're going to do after church. Honey, where are we going to eat? Who gave you the money to eat? Who gave you your health and strength? The reason why you can inhale and exhale is because God loves you. You better forget all that mess. You better make sure you're not distracted. You better focus on God, who can save your soul, who can protect your children, who can protect your job, who can give you a new health, who can make you whole again. No distraction. I never will forget, I was trying to worship one time and I had one of my baby with me and the baby started crying. I said, girl, I love you. If you don't stop that mess, you'll be on the floor by yourself. I'm pressing in. He said, enter his gate with thanksgiving. I got something to thank God for. Enter his court with praise. I got something to praise God for. He said, be thankful unto him and bless his name. And you're going to be crying and messed up my worship? You better find your mama. No distraction. No distraction. And you can tell when the devil is trying to distract you. Sometimes you find yourself praying and then you wander away your mind. Am I the only person that need help? Here you're trying to talk to God. And then before you realize it, you done gone to sleep. The devil is a lie. Tell your neighbor, no more distraction. Tell your neighbor, release yourself. Tell your neighbor, get to know God for yourself. In the name of Jesus. John chapter 4 verse 24 says, God is a spirit. They that worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know something else you can do to worship God properly? Prepare yourself. What did I say you need to do? Amen. You have to prepare your heart to worship. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. If you're not careful, your mind will slip off. If you're not careful, your heart will be cooking everything but the worship of God. Just think about it. I'm a lawyer by trade. I would never go to court without preparing myself. I'm a pastor here. I would never come here to preach to you without preparing myself. Sometimes I will stay up all night preparing myself. Sister girl, if you're going on a date, I hope you prepare yourself. You don't go on a date with a nappy hair. Don't look at nobody. Now I'm just, no, not today. You invest the time to get yourself ready. And don't let nobody fool you. Even boys will prepare ourselves. Amen. You make sure you. Why? Because you want to look good. Girls, let me tell you about women. They will check your appearance out. I don't care how anointed you are. If you are smelling and you are smoky, hit the road, Jack. If I will prepare just to spend time with a woman, if I will prepare to go and teach my students in the classroom, if I will prepare, I don't even go to the New Orleans Saints game without preparing. How much more? Let me get back in the spirit. How much more? When you're going to have a meeting with Almighty God, tell your neighbor, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Amen, somebody. And then let me say something else. You need to focus. What did I say you need to do? The reason why many of us cannot worship, we focus too much on our problems. Are you listening to me? You know I love you. This is not the normal church, but somebody needs to tell the truth. The more you focus on your problem, the bigger your problem becomes. But if you will learn to cast all your cares upon him, and knowing your knowing that he cared for you, your worship will be real. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. From you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve. Somebody sing that song with me. Let's just worship. Never be the same again. I don't know about you. I am tired of religion. I pay my dues in that neighborhood. I am walking out of it. I want to have an encounter with God. I need Him every hour. Without Him, I can do nothing. True worship will get God's attention. True worship, we allow God to habitate. Can I tell you one more secret and I let you go? My brothers, my sisters, the problem with this world is that we are busy looking for Jesus to do something for us. But guess what? We don't find it. You know what? Because Jesus is looking for worshipers. What you're looking for is not what He's looking for. The book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, God seeketh. Yes, man. Worship. And when you can get Him to seek you, then all this other stuff that is distracting you and me will go away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All this other stuff. I'm believing God. Our praise worship will never be the same again in this church. I'm believing God. That congregation, you're not going to be sitting down every Sunday. Watch somebody praise God for you when you got something to praise God for. I'm believing God, from the pulpit to the pews, this will be a house of true worship. There is a reason, Pastor, that Daniel could sleep all night with lions. You know his secret? If you get to heaven, ask Daniel. Say, Joshua, Dara told a lie on you. When that Negro was in the lion's den, his focus is not on the lion. Yes, lions are bad. Yes, lions can kill. Yes, those lions are hungry. But his focus is on God. And because he focused on God, he made lions to be his pillow all night. Then when they called Daniel as the God whom you serve, has he been able to deliver you? They were shocked. When Daniel said, I'm still here by the grace of God. Look at somebody and say, I'm still here. I'm still here by the grace of God. Now from this day forward, let this house be a house of worship. Let your apartment be an apartment of worship. Let your car be a car of worship. Let your worship be real. Everybody stand to your feet. Thank you, my father. Want us to pray for deliverance from power of religion. When you shout, I want your shout to make meaning. When you sing, I want your singing to make meaning. When you preach, I want your preaching to scare the devil himself. If you will worship God in spirit and in truth, God will do things that you can never imagine. In this church called Zion Hill, I want every one of us to join God to rebuild. Tabernacle. Governor Cope David. From the pulpit to the pews, to the choir stand, to the parking lot, let this church be an exception to the rule in this community. Let's walk in obedience. Let's really release ourselves to worship. Let's stop all the excuses. When we are Baptists, we don't shout. That's the devil trying to rob you of your miracle. Where, Pastor, I walk all night. Who gave you the job? Release yourself to worship. Focus on God when you are here. Get to know God for yourself. God will do a new thing. I receive. Thank you. I wonder how many people are here today and say, Lord, I've heard your voice. Help me to be a true worshiper. You're the one that God sent me to. I just want to pray with you. That's my own prayer this morning. When I told you I'm tired of religion, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of just looking dignified. I'm tired of just having church and no power, no demonstration of his presence. I'm tired of watching people die before their time. I'm tired of stagnation. Guess what they are doing in heaven every day? 24/7. Worship. Remember what I told you? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's what is going on in heaven, let's make it happen here on earth. Maybe you're here and you just want a covenant with God. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. I want to be a worshiper. Find your way to the altar. If you say, Lord, give me the grace, I want to worship you. You've done so much for me. I've been distracted for too long. Religions are taking my attention. Lord, make me a worshiper. David never lost a single battle because he is a worshiper. And my prayer for you and me this morning, we will not lose any battle when we choose to worship God. Sing that song again. Hallelujah. Guess what the Bible called you, every one of you before this altar? You're a wise man. You're a wise woman. Not everybody is wise. There's a lot of dumbos in the body of Christ. You know why I know you're a wise man? When you get a chance, go home and read it. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2. Wise men, they came far from the east. Guess what they were?